Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby, who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed. Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
If your kids' closets are full and completely disorganized, let go of the hand-me-downs.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood. I will give all of these clothes away when I find the most mesmerizing recipient. I have tried to drop that out of my repertoire.
With Margaret Abels
and Amy Wilson. You had a keepsakes screed ready to go. I think now we're all ready for it.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas so you don't have to.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the What Fresh Hell podcast. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret.
This week, we're talking about how there's too much stuff in our houses.
Oh, guys, clear your schedules for the day, because I have about 76 hours worth of stuff to say about this.
You've been so ready. I feel like forever we've been saying, oh, we really should do an episode. And, you know, Holly, who won the book giveaway we had a couple weeks ago, she suggested this topic idea, and I just said, it's time. Would you like to hear what Holly has to say about this
issue? I would indeed.
She says, this weighs on me daily. With kids, there is truly no end to the influx of toys, keepsakes, and clothes coming in, and the things they've outgrown that need to go out. My three kids range in age from 1 to 9 years old, and I struggle with what items to save for the baby to grow into. Do I really want to hold on to pajamas for him to grow into in 6 years? The sentimentality of it all weighs on me too. The constant mental space this process consumes is definitely my biggest consistent downer as a mom.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, Holly. You're not wrong. I will soon be doing a 45-minute diatribe on the phrase keepsake. So sit back and get ready. I mean, do you want to start us off? Do you have some studies or anything you want to roll with first? Because I could just do a screed O-rama over
here. Why don't I do a study or two before the screed starts?
Yeah, because you've got to keep me in check today. Because seriously, like, I am the cartoon of the person who has steam coming out of their ears right now.
I always start from the same place on our topics. Like, is this a problem? Like, is it just a problem that we think it's a problem? And is it a problem? And it is a problem. Studies show that clutter is distracting, and it's kind of like multitasking. It forces you to engage with the items over and over again. But it's also actually literally painful to give stuff away, for some people more than others. But there is it. So researchers at the Yale School of Medicine, they sat down two groups of people, hoarders and non-hoarders.
Okay.
So let's just say we're talking about more garden variety keepsakes in this episode.
Right. I mean, like everything we talk about, there's a spectrum. There's you can't open your house and there's a raccoon living somewhere you can't find. Right. And then there's like, you are such a minimalist that you reject every single item on earth.
We live somewhere in the great middle ground, probably with all of you. So anyway, so they had these two groups of people, and they gave them mail to sort. And for all of them, it was some mail that actually belonged to them and some just random mail that belonged to the researchers. And they asked them to go through and decide what to throw away and what to keep. And for everybody, but especially for the hoarders in the group, two areas of their brain that are associated with pain, like the pain you get when you drink hot coffee or get a paper cut, they would touch a piece of mail that belonged to them and had to decide whether to keep it or throw it away. And these two areas of their brain would light up like, ow, ow, ow.
Just fire up. Yeah. I have killed that part of my brain.
I feel like I sometimes have the opposite part of that. Like, I'm at the other side into like, woohoo, pitch it in the garbage.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely... It's funny that you say that, because then we'll both be on the same side of it, because I have just destroyed whatever that part of my brain is. Like, I took the pain and then I was like, I was, what's the movie with Jim Carrey? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Like, I had that part of my brain destroyed. Is that an Oldilocks alert?
Back in my day.
I mean, it might be. He's making a comeback, so I think it does, yeah. If he's been gone, then it is an Oldilocks
alert. But it's basically like a movie about a guy who gets a part of his brain erased so he doesn't remember his ex-girlfriend because it's too painful to think about her. I think this was triggered a little bit by marrying my husband, who never gets rid of anything. I don't even think in a sentimental way. I think just in like a sort of why throw stuff away way.
Yeah.
And merging our stuff and living in small places without a lot of storage, getting wedding gifts. I saw the train coming of like, we're not going to be able to open our door soon.
So you set the barriers up ahead of time, like a bowling alley with those things on the side of the guardrails. You have a narrow lane.
Very narrow lane. Very few things get through the eye of this needle, let me tell you.
I also have a sort of forced narrow lane, and it's because I live in New York City in an apartment, and it's a big apartment, but it's still an apartment. I don't have a garage. I don't have a basement. And it's a very modern building, so I don't really have storage. I have closets. Yeah,
guys, Amy's apartment is like, it's all open plan. So it's like you walk into her apartment. I do not know how you live like this. Although I have a fairly open plan house, but I still have the like, throw everything in the bedroom, company's coming. Like, where is all your stuff?
We do have two sort of like sliding doors that I can hide stuff behind.
Because every time I go to your apartment, I'm amazed by like, this looks like a catalog and I don't understand where all the things are.
All I have to do is block our fire exits and it's not a problem. That's right.
So like, you're doomed if there's smoke, but you keep your apartment very
right, safe. Right. So yeah, I'm forced to, and as I was working on this episode, of course, you talk about decluttering and then you burst into it. I go into our coat closet in our front hallway where I had these two big baskets that I had designed on the way in. We moved in 5 years ago and I'm like, this is where the sporting equipment goes. And the problem with the baskets, the problem with the pretty things to put stuff in is that the stuff goes in and it doesn't come back out. So we pulled them all out. I mean, we had, you know, batting helmets that nobody's worn for 4 years. We had cleats that are three sizes too small and they were in these hidden huge baskets. So I didn't see them. Nobody saw them. So now we have all this stuff to give away and these cleats cost like $100. I don't want to just throw them in a Goodwill bin behind the church. I want to give them to somebody. And so therefore they're going to sit in my front hallway for 6 weeks while I figure out who wants a...
Okay, spoiler alert. Putting them in the bin at the church is giving them to somebody.
Kind of. I feel like it's making more garbage. I feel like we can overdo the virtue of like, look at all this stuff I gave away. I like if I'm giving away... Oh, like a dress coat, you know, or like a dress that my daughter wore as a bridesmaid when she was three. I don't want to give that to the Goodwill. I want to give it to somebody who I know will use it.
I would encourage you strongly to either pre-select those people and have a system in place all the time or drop that from your repertoire.
Well, this is...
it'll just live forever in your closet. The problem of like, my husband and I have this discussion all the time because we both tend to do it. It's in writing. There's a famous phrase, don't let perfect be the enemy of done. Like the idea of like, my book is going to be perfect and therefore it's never going to be finished. Like finish it and done is your goal. Perfect is not your goal. It's the same thing. Like David and I both have the problem of like, I will send that thank you card when I find the perfect card for that person. Therefore, the person never gets a thank you note. Like, and I find I will give all of these clothes away when I find the most mesmerizing recipient. I have tried to drop that out of my repertoire.
I have a handy hand-me-down person, and this is my sister Molly. I have some great ideas from her from managing stuff because she's got four little boys. They are 8, 6, 4, and 2.
We always win. 7, 5, 3, and 1. There. We have to take a moment of silence and just send some good vibes to Molly.
She's got a lot of stuff. And
we missed our moment of silence, Amy.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, proceed.
So she knows from stuff. But part of the problem is me, her older sister, with kids who are older, because I have sort of gleefully for the past... Oh, you know, 8 years since she became a parent, been giving her the stuff that we don't need anymore. And some of it's great, rocking chair. Some of it's maybe not so great, like 40, you know, board books. And so I just went through our board games and we pulled out the Hungry Hungry Hippos and the stuff that my kids don't really play with anymore. And I have a stack in my front hallway. And I tried a new tactic. I took a picture of it and I texted it to my sister and I said, do you want any of these board games? And she wrote back, no. So now I am just going to give them the goodwill. But I felt good about that. Like, oh, I think giving somebody else your hand-me-downs, it needs to be a double opt-in. Like they need to want them. You can't just stick the bag on their front porch.
Yeah. And you have to control your urge, which I do. My daughter is, we've gone boy heavy in the family recently. And so my daughter is one of the few young girls in the family. And so I now have 3 or 4 different people giving her clothing, and girls under 10 clothing is ridiculous. Like now everybody's got 45 beautiful dresses with like a velvet top and a tutu bottom. Like it looks like the nicest dress you'd ever own, but there's 400 of them, you know? And my daughter has become the end of a pipeline of clothing that is slowly burying us. And when my family goes missing, please send someone to dig us out from the pile of Elsa costumes that we have inherited from everyone in our family.
So do you have, do you feel like you can say no to the hand-me-downs on the way in?
I could. I don't tend to right now, but what I really need to do, and you said this once before, and I still don't do it, I need to take the box as it comes and say there are 45 things in here. Let's go through it and pick the 10 things you want and just put the rest directly into the Goodwill bin.
Yeah. Yeah. So the minimalists say, they have a podcast, and they suggest that you need to extinguish the fire before rebuilding your home. Like if your goal is decluttering, then the first step is don't let anything else in the first place.
That's correct. I mean, this is the classic problem of like holding your hand over the open flame and taking Advil for the pain. Like you got to shut off the source.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rachel Jones, who has a site called Nourishing Minimalism, she says, if you're still in the midst of decluttering, if your kids' closets are full and completely disorganized, let go of the hand-me-downs. Just give the, just pass them on. You're not ready. You can't handle the truth. Don't open those bags.
You can't handle the hand-me-downs.
Because that's what really gets me. It's right that there's nothing worse than going in the back of your closet to get out the suitcase you hardly ever use and finding the bag of clothes that you saved for 5 years that the kid passed right through the snow boots size 6 while it was stuck in your closet and you forgot it was even there.
Yeah, that's my entire existence. But at the same time, snow boots, cleats, overcoats, you know, overcoats, I'm 150 years old, snow jackets, they're really, really expensive. And so the idea of passing them up is insane. But the management involved is basically a full-time job.
Okay, so you're right. So some stuff you do want to hang on to. So here's what Nourishing Minimalism says you need to do if you really do want to keep some hand-me-downs.
Okay, I need this.
You need
better
to get
be good.
At the risk of stating the obvious, we need to hear this. You need to have the top shelf in your kid's closet cleaned out. Mine is my daughter's top shelf of her closet is currently full of empty American Girl boxes that she wants to save so that someday when she doesn't want the American Girl stuff anymore, we can put it away in the boxes and make it look like nice enough that somebody's going to be excited to get them. Love that notion, but that's what her
tough an apartment.
Her
yes.
top shelf okay. of her closet is full of empty boxes. Okay, so clear out the empty boxes. And then she says, box them, label the front with gender, size, and season, and make sure you can see it and put it in the top shelf of the closet. That's how I did it. But my sister Molly, with the 4 little boys, has a, I think, much simpler, much better system that one would actually use. And therefore, the system, if it's a system you're not going to use, then it's not useful. So I think my sister has Nourishing Minimalism beat.
All right.
I'm going to tell you her system right after this.
And now, the reality of organizational advice from the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Have a single drawer in your kitchen where you keep miscellaneous items.
Right, until that drawer becomes full and you need a second drawer. And then that second drawer also becomes full. And the next thing you know, for some reason, your oven is full of baking sheets and cookie jars.
Use decorative baskets to organize the children's toys neatly under the television.
Spoiler alert, your kid always needs the toy at the bottom of the basket.
Use a label maker to create a specific space for all bathroom items.
Second day, your kid steals that thing and makes labels that say butt, poop, and fart until all of the label tape is gone.
Organize your kids' clothing by days of the week. Soccer on Saturdays? Have the cleats in a clearly marked bin that says Saturday in a fun font.
Yeah, we're just going to stick with our current system, which is me screaming, if you can't find your other cleat, you can hop all through your soccer game in a crazy voice to start every Saturday. But thanks.
Use decorative baskets to organize children's shoes.
No. We've already been through the decorative basket thing. Decorative baskets are a lie. People do not go down the path of decorative baskets.
Your bedroom should be a clean, clutter-free space that functions as your personal sanctuary.
Oh, yeah? How do you know? I don't find it relaxing to sleep on unfolded laundry that I put on the bed last Tuesday and never got around to folding. It was too tired to shove off onto the floor, huh? You don't know my life organization, lady. You should take your decorative basket.
This has been the reality of organizational advice from the What Fresh Hell podcast.
And you know what you should do with your decorative basket? You should shove your decorative basket up.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and, more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me. Lumen.me and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. Amy, lay some Molly wisdom on me.
Okay, so I knew she'd know. So I went to her and said, can you please give me some tips for this episode? She has clear bins. Her first tip is clear. They can't be baskets. You can't see what's inside. They have to be clear bins. She got them from the Container Store. She has one for each kid. They're stacked on the floor of the closet. Again, not on the top shelf. Need to get them. And sometime in the next 6 weeks, I'm going to climb up there with the stepladder, like reachable on the floor of the closet, one for each kid. And they're not labeled 2T summer or like, you know, Easter dress up. They're labeled for Bobby, for Billy, for each one of her kids. And when somebody outgrows something, they're there, they're easy to access. She just throws it into the bin for the next kid. And then she just goes through them as she's turning over the seasons. And as she said, just this week, it was suddenly 25 degrees colder from one day to the next. And oh my gosh, they need pants now. And she didn't have pants ready for any of them. But she was able to take the first kid's pants that were too small, immediately put them in the for Peter bin, and then, you know, pull out the bin of stuff for her oldest kid, which is the hand-me-downs that she goes through as they're coming in and has one ready to go.
Let me quote to you, Amy, from my upcoming book, still seeking a publisher, but I'm sure any day now, called Lessons I Learned from the RV. As you know, I recently spent 7 days in an RV, so I consider myself now an expert in RV living. You need so many fewer clothes. I'm going to really need to work on my syntax if I'm going to publish this book. You need many fewer clothes than you think you do. Having exactly, you're in an RV, so you can't, you know, bring the 96 options that we tend to bring. It forced us, we had exactly 5 changes of clothes for every kid. 5 t-shirts, 5 pants, 5 sweatshirts, 5 socks, 5 underwear, 1 pair of shoes. That's all the clothes your kids need. And then once a week you do laundry. Too many clothes is the genesis of all clutter in my house. Too many things, but clothes, because like, oh, you went to Thousand Islands and you got the shirt that said like, there's a Thousand Islands. If you start committing to putting all that stuff in the closet, each of my kids probably has 35 t-shirts in their room right now. It's nuts.
So wait, are you saying her system isn't a good system because there's too much in there?
No, I'm saying her system is a good system, but that out of that box should come 7 shirts, 7 pairs of pants, 3 pairs of shorts, 7 pairs of socks. I think the danger of hand-me-downs is like you have the big bin and it's like, well, we have it all. Mm. Might as well unpack it and organize it now.
Yeah.
But use the bin system, move stuff along, keep track of your hand-me-downs. But the closet at any given time should have 7 changes of clothes in it.
Well, I should say these bins are not huge. They're enough that you can stack 4 of them on the floor of the closet and they still fit under the hanging clothes. So I think you're right. Like, they don't have a space where things go and it isn't too large. I have an office cabinet and it's in my kitchen where we keep, you know, all the chargers and the paper clips and everything. It's checkbooks. And I had a little drawer to keep notepads in. And it became so full that I started stacking the notepads on top of the notepad drawer. And then I was like, this is bonkers. I don't need more blank notepads than can fit in a drawer labeled notepads. So I need to throw half of these away.
We just went to a convention and the big giveaway is notepads. And you're like, oh, this is a nice one though. It's moleskin. It's so nice. It doesn't matter how nice it is. You don't need 14 notebooks.
Right, right. And you need to be more ruthless about what you... We were at this convention with Gretchen Rubin recently, and she actually said, like, I don't take any swag. I don't accept it anymore. You think you want the notebook that says, you know, Advil on it, but no, you don't. You don't really. No,
it's so smart. And the corollary between clutter and mess and happiness is something that has finally kind of grounded into my brain in a very real way. Like I'm an extremely disorganized person. Like looking around my desk right now, it looks like there's been a grenade attack and that everything is scattered in all directions. Because I am so disorganized that everything I touch explodes. Like every, and this is the thing with too many t-shirts. The kid's like, I like the one on the bottom, grabs it out. And then the room is messy because there's 12 t-shirts that came exploding out. Like, I have learned that to fight my own personal messy disorganization, I have to have as little stuff as humanly possible.
You need to have less stuff in the first place. Gretchen has a great tip for this, which is to use what you have. Again, like, hello, obvious, but I have 8 bottles of shampoo going in my shower. I need to use them up. And I've started combining them and getting rid of them. And I get such delight of working those down to now 2 or 3 bottles of shampoo because we don't need 8 kinds of shampoo. And they're all half full because you don't. And also throwing away the one that you thought you wanted with the exploding beads of, you know, extra softness or whatever.
Those are bad for the environment anyway.
Exactly. My 14-year-old was like, why do we have shampoo with beads in it? And I pitched it because... It's okay. And even with the $5 bottle of half-used shampoo, I do have a like, oh, bad purchase. Oh, I'm acknowledging my bad purchase as I toss this half bottle of shampoo that nobody wants in it, which is going to sit forlornly in a corner of my shower if I don't throw it out.
Oh, yeah. This is the freezer thing where you just look in and you're like, those frozen, you know, chutney nuggets that I thought looked delicious at Trader Joe's 2 years ago. Like, I'm still going to use those. Like, acknowledge to yourself that you've made a mistake, face your fears, and get out of it. I'm going to return to my soon-to-be bestseller, What I Learned.
What is it called again? It's like how not to not have.
We're still workshopping the title, but it's basically What I Learned from RV Living, My 7 Days in Hell by Margaret Amos. The revelation I kept having is there's so little stuff because you can't bring a lot. It's 25 feet, 5 people are living there, and there's like 4 storage spaces. every time I turned around, I knew where everything was. I was like, okay, guys, let's do some reading. Let me go to where I put the four Kindles all together. Hey, you need your blue t-shirt? I know exactly where it is, because there was so little stuff that I just didn't have that constant thing of like, oh, the Kindles, where could they be? Oh no, everyone's always looking for their shoes, because the shoes were where the four shoes went, you know, mm-hmm. the four sets of shoes. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that I've started implementing it in my life, but it was really eye-opening to me. Like, oh, everyone only has one charger for their device. So it's with the device where the device goes. We don't just keep buying chargers because we never have them. My sunglasses, I would put in the sunglass holder in the front of the RV. Like, it really is better to have less stuff. Listen to my proclamation and buy the book, please, wherever books are sold.
My sister Molly, maybe she could write the foreword. She says,
oh, yes, foreword by Molly.
And she says that the her other survival tip is kind of this, to be ruthless about what to keep. So yes, she has the four bins, but there's four of them and they all have to fit in the closet. So she's got stuff going, but so she's ruthless about stuff. She doesn't put it in the bin unless, you know, no rips, no stains, no wear, looked cute on them and fit them well. She's like, if it was always a little weird or was they didn't love it or they thought it was itchy, I don't keep it for the next kid.
Molly,
pass it on.
Come save us. I'm looking at an example right now on my desk. I just bought a new pen cup. Long story that I won't go into about. It was at a store that I really like, and it's pen cup. And then I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy my favorite brand of pens. I think I put a picture up on Facebook.
You did, yeah.
All black and then all colors. And then I'm going to put them in the thing, and that's my pen cup. But what step did I skip, Amy?
Throwing away the other pens.
Throwing away the other pens. So now I'm looking at my desk right now, and I am looking at 40 pens in three different cups. One in my cup that I love, one in an old cup that has the Minions on it that might be from McDonald's, and one in like an old mug. And I'm throwing them away right after this episode. I'm doing it.
Yeah, it feels good. And again, it's like, oh, but we're making more garbage. So it would be, but you can't use up 80 pens. Can't do it. I wish
and
I could.
And the garbage,
that, you're
exactly right. The garbage stops at the front door. It's basically the eating thing where you're like, oh, this restaurant served me 8 days worth of pasta instead of a reasonable serving. But I hate to throw it away. So I'll put it in my body instead. Like, it's not good logic. And so feeling like putting the chutney nuggets from Trader Joe's in the garbage is creating garbage. No, you created that garbage in the aisle at Trader
Joe's. That's right. That's right. My husband was having his brain centers were letting up as I was trying to get him to part with some of his 45 t-shirts. And I'm like, there's only 7 days in a week. And P.S., you work in an office where you can't wear these t-shirts. So there's two days a week you can wear t-shirts. So let's say you keep 20 t-shirts. You don't have to repeat the one you're wearing for 10 weeks. You have 45 in here. Like, they're already garbage. He had a hard time getting rid of them. Like, but they're already not being used. They're just sitting here not being used, or they're, you know, at the Goodwill not being used. So get rid of them.
Yeah, your brain really tricks you into like the potential of objects. Like, one of my pen cups is full of like sparkly glitter pens that I bought thinking I was going to use them for something, and they weren't right for it. And a lot of them are like yellow, like they don't even show up on paper. But I cannot acknowledge that they're garbage. Like, I just keep thinking there must be some use for a yellow glitter pen that you can't see when you write with it on paper. Right. There is no use for it, and I'm throwing it away today.
I want to say, too, about organizing hand-me-downs on the way out. I have a bin that's right by one of my fire exits in my apartment, so I don't have to look at it, but it's very accessible. And
I'm worried for your safety, but I'm glad you have assistance.
No, I can still clearly, I can climb over the clothespin as I run for my life.
you know, what's that guy's name? Mitch Hedberg has a great joke that if you have legs, you are never blocking a fire exit. Like, you'll just move when there's a fire.
Right. I'll be able to get past it. But anyway, I keep the stuff in it as I go. Again, it's accessible. It's not, oh, downstairs in the basement or, you know, up in the attic, I have the clothes I'm going to give away. Keep them with you. You can add to it as you go. It's easy to do it. You don't have to think about it. Some people even keep it in their laundry room. And then again, not too big, not too large a bin so that you have to get it out of your house every couple of months.
Oh, bins. We should have gotten sponsored by the Container Store.
Yeah, seriously. I have a
a declutter formula that I found. This guy named Leon Ho is a, you know, life hacker, minimalist sort of guy. And he has a formula, which it's has a terrible name. It's the RFASR. Like, I don't, it has an acronym, but it's an unpronounceable acronym. So it's the declutter formula.
Oh, good. The refrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofrofr
despite its unpronounceable initials. The first thing is recency. When was the last time I used this thing? Frequency. How often do I use this thing? Acquisition. How difficult or expensive would it be to get this thing? Storage cost. How much storage and maintenance is it tied to keeping this item? And retrieve costs. What costs are associated with getting it back or it becoming outdated by the next time I need it? These things, when I apply them to most things around my house, like my husband put away a big box of speakers and cords when we moved out of our old apartment 5 years ago. That box of speakers and cords has now come with us to our new apartment where I just pulled it out of a closet the other day. And I said, it's time to say goodbye to this. Like I was trying to joke to him, like, do whatever sort of smudging ceremony you need to say and say goodbye to these speakers and wires that were already outdated 5 years ago. But don't you think we might need them at some point? I'm like, no, like a Bluetooth speaker is $29 now. There's no more wired speakers. We're not going back. I'm not keeping a huge box of these. But guess where it is? It's still in my house.
Yeah. The trick is like you just, I mean, not to bring subterfuge into your marital relationship, but like the second you see that, just throw it away. You're never going to know it's gone.
Yeah. He'll never know it's gone. You're right. Don't involve him in that.
Don't tell him.
You guys, let's just make
sure
he does not listen to this
episode. That's how I felt about my husband's cat. It worked out fine. I was like, I'm just going to throw it away. He'll never notice. I didn't really do that.
Here's the only issue. The Refrosser declutter formula doesn't really apply to keepsakes, to sentimental things that we're supposed to keep that wouldn't have any value to anybody else. And we're going to talk about what to do with those things after this.
Hello, Hellions. You know we listen to a lot of podcasts that aren't our own. And today we want to tell you about a podcast that really speaks to us and will speak to any parent of a child with special education needs.
The podcast is called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. One of my kids has an IEP, and I found this podcast so validating and so helpful. I feel better equipped to advocate for my child's educational needs now.
This podcast is helpful for parents in many different situations, whether your child already has an IEP or you're just starting to wonder if they might need extra support in the classroom. Juliana has content for kids of all ages and for kids who are learning English as an additional language as well.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practiced after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
All right, Amy, sentimental.
Yeah,
take a sentimental journey, Amy.
You had a keepsakes screed ready to go. I think now we're all ready for it.
I mean, sit back, people. But this is the thing. Keepsakes are my pet peeve, my bête noire, my nemesis, Amy. Keepsakes, I find in my attempts to rid myself of useless things, my greatest enemy is the keepsake. I have two greatest enemies, the keepsake and the accidental collection. Do you ever have that thing where someone sees like an owl figurine in their house and they're like, oh, Amy's into owls. And the next thing you know, like everyone on earth is giving you owls and you have an owl collection.
Yep.
So I have started a gigantic battle against keepsakes. And again, I mean, I cannot believe this book is coming to life before our very eyes. Things I learned in the RV.
You're basically just talking through the proposal. We're just going to transcribe this.
This is it. This is the book. For any publishers out there, just send me a check. I'm ready to go with this thing. Stop buying souvenirs at every stop. One souvenir for the whole trip and make it a smart souvenir. We have one shelf. We have like a built-in kind of china cabinet-y thing that we don't use all the shelves of. One of our shelves... For every trip, we buy a small figurine and it goes on the shelf. And that is our shelf of souvenirs and remembrances. And they're all like 2 inches tall. So like I have a gondolier from when we went to Venice. I have a little tiny Mount Rushmore from when we went to Mount Rushmore. On this trip, we went to Bolt Castle. I got a little figurine of Bolt Castle. They're tiny. But then when you look at that shelf, it's like, these are all the places we've ever been. We don't need t-shirts. We don't need mugs. We don't need hats. We don't need anything else to remember our trips.
I have, like you hate party favor bags. I hate collectibles that are created in order to be collectibles. Like you need this whole set of Little Angel Sunshine and here's the first day of school, Little Angel Sunshine. And here's the, I don't know, like, sorry, I broke your Little Angel Sunshine, Little Angel Sunshine. And you need to have 36 of them. Like I hate those things. And I am sentimental about my kids' artwork and stuff from when they were little, but I kind of toss right away the turkey hand that comes with a poem that's like, don't forget, my hand was very little, but one day it'll be big. I'm like, oh, you're manipulating me, and this goes right in the trash.
Ouch. But I'd hashtag resist.
Right. But I'd rather keep the, you know, Batman with six hands that the three-year-old made, the things that are meaningful to me, not because you're telling me, look how meaningful this is, but because it just speaks to me.
The artwork, it all goes in the recycling bin. It goes straight in the recycling bin. Every once in a while, like my son drew this hilarious picture, and it was when he was young, and it said, the hills are alive. And because my daughter was obsessed with Sound of Music, and it was a picture of a hill attacking Maria, like to eat her. Like the hills are alive and they're going to devour Maria as she sings. And it was such a funny picture. I took a picture of it and I threw it away. Like, I don't have time for the paper. Nothing stays.
At least you took a picture of it because it's something that's, you'll laugh about it someday. You don't necessarily need to hold the thing in your hand.
I don't need to hold the thing in my hand. And the amount of paperwork, I call it the barfing backpack syndrome, the amount of paperwork that comes in every single day at the end of the day. And I feel like that stuff, it's like, think of it as like a feather. And every single day it stays in your house, it gains a pound of weight. Like it, and then when you've had it for 3 months, it's like, now it's a keepsake. My husband, when we got married, had been a teacher. And he had these letters that these seventh graders that he taught 10 years ago had written him. And yes, I understand the sentimental value. He had not looked at them in 10 years. He was never going to look at them again. I was like, we're about to have kids. I'm pregnant. We're now going to have letters that your kids have written you. Take pictures of them, bind it in a book, and put it on our shelf. I will accept that. But these letters are not coming into our house. A giant framed picture of all, you know, his class that people had signed. You can take a picture of it, but that is not coming into our house. I am relentless with that stuff. Once it comes in your house, it's a keepsake.
It can be rendered into a form. Like my sister, same sister, made. I was
my co-author.
Yeah, exactly. I was in a Broadway show. This is like 20 years ago, and she was, you know, pretty young then, and didn't have money to buy Christmas presents. And so, for my Christmas present, she took all the ticket stubs and this, and made it into a scrapbook. And this is 20 years ago, so it was before everything scannable, but this is a physical memory that I have of that time in my life, which is very precious to me. But it, you know, and it sits on a shelf and I can take it down and look at it, but it's organized. If you just bring this stuff in and don't cull it or organize it or ask somebody who's into this stuff to do it for you as a gift, then you're not going to engage with it again. And then what's the point of keeping it?
And I will say there are people who are, you know, I see these like little movies on Facebook and stuff where like people go on a trip and every stub from the boat trip they took and they organize it in a scrapbook as they go and it's beautiful. I have just found for myself that like the idea of like, let's keep this ticket stub from the Baseball Hall of Fame. No, let's not. Like it will just be in a box somewhere forever. And why not? I have this phone in my pocket at all times, and it takes pictures. And so I have pictures of us at the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I'm going to take the other side of this, because I do have, in a hallway in my house, I have ticket stubs. They're in square frames, but there's like six of them, and they're from the opening nights of the six shows I did that I am most proud of. That, like, you know, put the most work in for me, and the most recent one is our first live show from a year ago.
That is,
but
okay.
I have a system for it, and it's not. I don't save playbills from every show I ever attended. I save things that are really specifically very meaningful to me, and then you need a place to put them.
That's fine, but I just think I have no problem with that because you have a system. I just think what you have to really watch is the aspirational save. If you're like, I'm going to save this ticket stub. Okay, I don't even remember what episode it was, but episodes and episodes ago, we were talking something about cleaning stuff out. And I said, I have 40 t-shirts from when I used to run, which I don't even run anymore, of races, and I'm going to make them into a t-shirt quilt. And you were like, oh, I know a woman who does that. We had this conversation. Yes. Guess where those t-shirts are?
Yep.
They're exactly where they were a year ago when we recorded that episode.
Well, Bitty Birdie, that's Bitty Birdie Designs. I want to give her another shout out. She can make a great t-shirt quilt if you're going to do it.
I'm never going to do it. Accept that I'm never going
to
do
they're
it.
They're apparently like, not that meaningful to you, or else you would have. So that's okay. So then get rid of them.
Just the aspirational save is what you have to really be careful of. And like some of this stuff, you know, my mom passed away last year, and I was just looking, and I have seven copies of the funeral program. It's like, do something with one, put it in a scrapbook, save it somewhere, or have a box of like precious treasures. That's fine. But just don't let the Minion cup from McDonald's become an accidental precious treasure.
Right.
Don't let the 97 art projects from kindergarten become precious treasures. They're not.
You know, I'm going to say the opposite of what I said last week about giveaways, because last week we were talking about raising grateful children and how going through their belongings with them and culling what they're ready to pass on is important, and is important sort of gratitude practice. But when it comes to, you know, getting rid of their drawings, that's definitely better if they're not present for that. But I've had with each of my kids moments when I'm ready to pass something on. I guess what I want to say is sentimentality is in the eye of the beholder, right? One of my sons has an under drawer bed that is filled with a toy that he used to really love, like a kind of toy. His under bed drawer is groaning with these toys. He's too old for these toys. He doesn't play with these toys anymore. I have suggested more than once that we can pass those on and he can get that storage space back. And he just is like, I don't know. Well, like maybe if, you know, maybe if my cousins come, well, maybe if somebody or the person I suggest to pass him on to, I don't know if he really wants to. He's not ready to get rid of them. They're in a bed. They're in a drawer under his bed. I'm not looking at them every day. They're meaningful to him. That will probably change at some point. Also, right, the sentimental value of things change over time. 20 years after my wedding, it's almost 20 years after my wedding, I'm glad I have a scrapbook, an actual wedding album. I mean, a photo album. I don't need the, you know, negatives from the photographer and all the outtakes that I saved for 15 years. I was
still
like, oh, what do I have these for?
Still have Goodbye. Mine.
I think so. At some point, this kid's relationship to those objects of his childhood is gonna change, and he'll get rid of them then. But I can't rush his sentimental process.
I think that is a really good touchstone for me to remember, because I definitely am like, sentimentality is nonsense. Out it goes. And like, I have to really think about that and be aware that like someone else's sentimentality. And I did this. My son, who's 9, had over his childhood collected all of the Toy Story toys. So he had every single Toy Story. I mean, not every single, but, you know, like a really nice collection of like 12 really nice high quality Toy Story toys. And I was like, okay, you don't play with these anymore. They took up a lot of room. They were kind of the majority of his bedroom. Now he's into like Marvel. He's just a different age.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's make a big thing of giving these away. And he still talks about them. Like, I might have rushed him a little bit on. He's like, in the movie that he goes and gives them to the kid, he's like, can we go visit the kid who we gave them to? You know, like he's still, it's like when he gets nervous, somehow he goes back to those things. And like, that is a very good for all my screeding, which like, listen, it's my brand. I got to screed. That's my brand. But like, I think it's good for me to remember that like my kids and their need to hold on to stuff and their weird sentimentality over stuff needs to be heard and respected a little bit more. And that's my son who's like, he sat me down one time. He's like, Mom, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. He said, it really hurts my feelings when you call my things junk. And I was like, all right. I mean, but he meant it. Like, it really, they don't like me just being like, that's a bunch of junk you got in your rah, rah, rah. It's nice for me to take a step back and be like, what did you say? Sentimentality is in the eye of the beholder. I like that a lot.
Well, and I save every card that I get from my husband or my kids every Mother's Day, every birthday. And I stick them in like my drawer with my pajamas. I have a pile and I have a place where they go. I put them there, you know, the day after I open them, I put them there in that drawer. There's a pile there. One of these days I'll probably go through them and throw away the ones that were, you know, where there's no sentiment expressed other than the one printed on the card. But, it's easy for me. Like I want to save them. I have a place where they go. They're not all over my house. They're not taking over, you know, it's not like vines everywhere. Who cares? That's something that I keep. And so I guess if our kids have things that are important to them, that we, you know, the sentimental value may escape us, but if it's important to them, then they can be in charge of creating a system where it's somewhat contained.
Yeah. And I think like the eating metaphor is right. Like, it's not so much that you have to only just eat like lettuce and chicken breast for the rest of your life. It's just like, look at where you're going off course. You can probably take the like plate of onion rings off. Like that's absolute. You can take the Minion cup full of useless pens and throw it away. And then as you get deeper into it and there's stuff that you're like, ah, this is really actually bringing me happiness in my life. I don't want to get rid of it. Fine. Just make sure you are looking at the questions so it just doesn't all become like massive piles of junk.
And you need to be able to find the stuff. My daughter just asked me what her first word was. And, you know, I did keep track of that stuff. And I have it all in a little calendar. And where is that calendar? I'm not really sure. So keepsakes, yeah, that are like, you just, if you have too many keepsakes, they're buried.
You literally bury the important stuff by holding on to too much.
Yeah. So I guess we have less so we can find what we really want to see and hold on to.
Amy, we solved this one.
Again.
We all have too much stuff. Guys, go this after. While you're listening to the podcast, I should have said this in the beginning. You can re-listen.
Yeah.
And then just go through and just cast a gimlet eye on all of your things. Get rid of them.
Yeah, I have an empty shelf in our coat closet now in the front hall. One empty shelf. It's going to stay that way for about 30 seconds, but I love it. It's so pretty.
Oh, does it feel good. Guys, we want to know always how you're handling all of your stuff and the too muchness of it. If we have all these great tips from our RV life, our sisters, you must have good tips as well. So come on our Facebook page and share with everybody else what you're doing with all your stuff. That's facebook.com/WhatFreshHellCast.
Also on Instagram, WhatFreshHellCast. I'm going to show you my empty shelf in my coat closet. And on Twitter at WFHPodcast, where I will put links to some of the things we talked about today.
And you know you want to start living under the RFRAF system that Amy mentioned earlier. And if for some reason that acronym is not just sticking with you, you will be able to find it on our website, www.whatfreshhellpodcast.com.
That's right. I think that's an old deluxe alert to say www at the beginning.
Back in my day. I did feel really old. I really did. I was like, wow, I'm really old. I didn't say http ///
on the interwebs.
All right, guys, get thee to decluttering and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.